Welcome to Talent Hub Talk. I'm Ben Duncombe, and on this podcast, I will be interviewing prominent and inspirational figures from both the local ANZ and global Salesforce Ohana. In today's episode, we're joined by Priscilla Rennick. Priscilla is a London-based Salesforce professional who actually studied law and went on to practice law in Brazil before she moved to London. When she arrived in London, she wasn't sure what she really wanted to do and found her way into a startup where she was actually helping the founders with everything from admin to engaging with customers, and then got the opportunity to become a Salesforce professional or look after their internal Salesforce org. Over the years she was with that business, she became a business analyst, a Salesforce solution architect, and really got a wealth of knowledge across the Salesforce platform and was given license to roam and explore and really make the most of the platform. Priscilla's about to start a new role as a solution architect in the consulting firm, and she's real proof that you can get into Salesforce from a non-tech background. You can become an architect if you're not from a technical background, and with the right opportunities and by joining the right companies and with the right attitude, you can really go far in your Salesforce career. And Priscilla talks about why joining a startup was great for her and her plans for the future. So I really hope you enjoy this episode, and please subscribe for future episodes just like this. So Priscilla, thank you so much. Obviously, we've met before. We've met in San Fran and also in London, because I think you've got a very interesting, unique background. So keen to kind of run through who you are kind of and how you've ended up where you are today in the Salesforce ecosystem.
Sounds good.
So let's go back to the beginning. What did you do before Salesforce? What was your career like back then?
Yeah, I was a lawyer in Brazil. My whole family has a law background, so okay. They're all lawyers themselves, or judges, high court judges. And it all sounds very fancy, but it means that all I knew my whole life was law. So I just naturally went that route. And yeah, to be honest, I just hated it.
Really?
With a passion, yeah. And I just didn't get a lot of I didn't feel rewarded by it. I got mm-hmm. no satisfaction from it.
Sure.
Maybe it's because I went into commercial law. So yeah, I used to represent some large companies, and that, I don't know, it just wasn't for me. It's sure, a lot of hard work and very little satisfaction from it.
Sure. So obviously you will have studied a long time to become a lawyer. And then for someone not to enjoy that, you must have been looking for some other things. So how did your path then fall into the Salesforce world?
Yeah, that was an accident. I was telling you earlier that I'm the personification of an accidental admin.
Yeah.
No, but my husband is British, so I moved to London and I couldn't practice law there with the Brazilian qualification anyway. Sure. So I would have had to retrain for, I think, another 2 years, and I just didn't want to do that for something that I didn't enjoy anyway. Yep. So I started looking for all sorts of roles. I had no idea what I wanted to do at all. And I came across the guys from Monero. They were a startup at a really, really early stage. I mm-hmm. think they had just got their Series A. And they were like, listen, we need someone to be a front for us at the moment. We're starting to book important meetings. We can't reach out to those, you know, like, backers or, you know, senior directors ourselves. We need someone to email them on our behalf.
Yeah.
But in the background, what it's going to be happening is that we'll let you explore every side of the business. Sure. You can see what you really like to do. Mm-hmm. And once you find that, we'll support you on your growth on that side.
Sure.
Because we are going to grow now and we're going to go really quickly. And I was like, okay, that sounds good. Because seeing that I didn't know what I wanted to do anyway,
yeah,
that was a really good way to go and explore.
Sure.
And that just happened to have bought Salesforce, I think, about a month before I joined.
Mm-hmm.
But again, at that point, we didn't have any customers. It was all very, very basic.
Yeah.
We didn't use any partners for implementation or anything. It was just like almost as it came.
So the licenses were sat there, but they hadn't really done much.
Yeah, I think they had like 10 licenses, but like two people had logged. And it was like, it was really, really early stages.
Sure.
So yeah, it just kind of fell on my lap pretty much straight away. And they're like, hey, why don't you try and help us with this? Like,
yeah,
they wanted some work done with the leads. Like, we need these industries and everything. It's like, oh, how to create a field on Google, just took it from there.
Sure. Yeah. So then you stayed with the business for quite some time, and your role had progressed kind of every year or every couple of years. So what roles have you played over the last few years in that business?
A lot. Like, at first, it was a matter of, like, everyone wears all the hats. So if we had an event, literally the whole company had to attend the event because we needed to look like we're bigger than what we were.
Yeah.
So I did everything from a little bit of marketing campaigns and a little bit of sales operations. Like, we've got some orders. Oh, someone should process them.
Yeah.
You know, like, and just every new thing. It's like, oh, we've got a customer now. And they called. It's like, oh, do we pass it over to, like, we don't have a customer support, you know? And it was just
And
we were kind of figuring out as we went. But because we started growing so quickly, then we found our feet really quite quickly. And then really early on, I realized that Salesforce was the thing that I wanted to do, that I was most interested in.
Sure.
And I thought I could add a lot of value to the business by doing that. And the way I figured that out was that I made a big mistake and I realized how costly that could be. And I was like, ah, so this is really important. And same way that you can cause damage, you can also add a lot of value. So I need to learn how to do it properly so that I don't make a mistake again.
Sure.
And hopefully help the company grow with that. So, yeah, the job titles, I feel like, always take a little bit of time to catch up to what I was actually doing.
Yeah.
But that's how it went. Yeah.
So you initially were hired as executive assistant and then a Salesforce BA?
That took a while to get to that BA level. As executive assistant. But again, doing that took about maybe 15% of my time.
Because
they were the two founders, they were brothers. And they were really independent. They just really needed someone to be that front for them.
Yeah.
When they had to book meetings or liaise with something that they couldn't reach. It didn't look good if they reached out directly. So I did that for a bit. And then I went into sales operations.
Yeah.
So I used to work really closely with our VP of finance / sales operations. And it was all about how we were really focused on, you know, that whole implementing the whole sales cycle, you know, and what works best and should we offer free trials and so on. So I was really aligned to him for about 2.5 years. And that to me was insanely valuable because I could see how he saw the business, and that's how I learned so much about how to grow a SaaS business, because I used to sit next to him and we'd have, you know, say, I remember very clearly, quite early on, maybe in a half, when he was on holiday and I had to prepare the board pack.
Yeah.
And we had our investors flying from Israel and from the US, and it was a heavy pack.
Sure.
And it's like, okay, so these are all the metrics that matter. These are all the things we're observing. And I was like, and it was all in Excel. And I was like, pretty sure I can do most of this in Salesforce And, you know, and then that's how I think I started to gain a really good understanding about the business. And from there, it was easier to use Salesforce to leverage Salesforce to help when they get to where they wanted to go. Because I could see their vision.
Sure.
Yeah, and I started to understand the system better. And then once I got to that, then that's how I got to the BA role.
Yeah. So how have you, because obviously, like, a lot of people, if they work for a company for a long period of time, their role doesn't necessarily change over a long period. So, you know, if someone goes into a company as a Salesforce admin, they can become a senior Salesforce admin, or, you know, they might become, over a longer period, if the team grows, they might become a platform manager. But you've kind of reinvented yourself quite regularly. So how have you kept stretching yourself and gone from a, you know, EA to a BA and then finally a solution architect? Was that something you took on yourself, or was that something they kind of pushed you into?
Half and half. So that's the thing of working for a startup that grows so quickly, and when they grew really, really quickly, is that that's stretching in itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like working for a different company every quarter, every 6 months.
Yeah.
With the volume of, you know, accounts or leads or internal users, and all of those things present a challenge. So I was always having to learn more and learn how to scale better and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Due to that. And then part of it was trying to steer that progression in a direction of where I wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that took some time to figure out, you know, because when I was an admin, I didn't even know that an architect was a role. And now I feel like that's kind of really well, you know, marketed. Like this year at Dreamforce, you had an architecture track. That was the first time that happened.
Yeah.
When I was an admin, there was no visibility that was a route that I could go sure. on. And again, because I didn't work for a consultancy, I was just working at an end customer. I didn't have that vision straight away. So it took me a while to figure out, but once I did, then I tried to steer things also a bit on this is where I want to go.
Sure.
Yeah.
But in an end customer, when you're the only Salesforce professional, you have no one to benchmark yourself against. Say, how did you go to your manager and say, right, now my role, I'm no longer a BA, like I'm performing the role of a solution architect, because I guess they wouldn't know that because they don't know the Salesforce ecosystem. So how do you have the confidence to do that and have the information, I guess, to position it like that?
Yeah, that was by far the hardest one. That jump was the hardest because it was a matter of me understanding and having that confidence that I was doing that.
Sure.
And again, as you said, when you don't have anyone to benchmark yourself against, how do you know? And because I don't have a technical background, then there was another level in my head, you know, to be able to call myself an architect. And that was a hurdle that I had to get through myself. But my approach was, I realized that's what I wanted to do through, you know, the ladies be architects and the different meetups and everything. So, and then I tried to understand what does it mean to be an architect and what kind of things do an architect do on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And I also did the certifications. I don't think the certifications by themselves kind of prove you're an architect, but at least it gives you an idea of these are the things you should know and put into practice
mm-hmm.
on a daily basis. And
sure.
I was doing that already.
Yeah.
Because again, I was responsible for this org, and that it was a really developed org. We had loads of integrations. We had a lot of customers. We had a lot of big partners. You know, we had Sales Cloud, Service Cloud, Community, Einstein. There was a lot of it going on, and everything worked really well. So I knew I was doing something right,
yeah.
but I didn't know that was the role of an architect.
Sure.
But after doing the certifications, then I realized, okay, now I do most of these things anyway. Mm-hmm. Some of them we didn't need to, perhaps due to the volume. You know, we didn't have millions of accounts to, you know, have to worry about some of the performance issues that could cause. But those are all the things they were in practice already. And then it was talking to other people that were architects to understand what they did and how they found their role and
sure.
what were their challenges, to the point that I realized, okay, no, I do. I am doing the role of an architect, but
sure.
I'm called a VA. And I appreciate that that's quite a unique position, because I was fortunate enough that I joined the business early on and I had a really good relationship with senior management who really trusted me and really let me run with the org and my ideas, as long as I could prove that there was a business value behind it.
Yeah.
And just always trying to push myself to keep adding value and not settle, and always try to find, you know, like go to the events, like watch Dreamforce, even if you can't attend, like what's new, what's coming, what can I use? Or even the releases, you know, new features all the time. Are we adopting them? Are we making the most of what we can do and trying to keep learning and not just learn, but actually put into practice?
Yeah.
That's how I can, yeah. And then it got to a point where it's like, no, I'm very clearly doing that role. I need to ask for
sure.
it. And it was just gathering the evidence of things that are very architecture related that I did. And not everything I did was, because again, I'm running the whole org. Some of it was BA, but loads of it was actually pure architecture.
Sure.
So it's just showing that I was doing that to be able to ask for that promotion.
Sure. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. And like we in Australia and New Zealand, for our recent market survey, we've seen that a lot of people are hesitant to work for a startup.
Mm-hmm.
But would you recommend people work for startups?
I think it depends on your personality. You will be thrown in the deep end, and you will be thrown out of your comfort zone, whether you like it or not,
mm-hmm.
because the company will suddenly steer in a direction that you weren't necessarily expecting. And sometimes it's due to the management, and sometimes it's just due to the market. The market hasn't evolved the way
sure.
we expected, you know, so things will change and plans have to change all the time. And then you're going to have to adjust to that as well. And it could be that you're expecting a certain growth rate, and then suddenly that triples, and your amount of work will also triple.
Yeah, sure.
And you just got to be able to handle that as best as you can. But at the back of that, you're going to learn so quickly, because mm-hmm. you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You will have to be able to keep up. You're going to have to push yourself and stretch yourself. But I think it would have taken me a lot longer at any other place to get to where I got to if I didn't have gone through those challenges.
So that's an interesting point. And hopefully a lot of people here will take that on, because I think there's some amazing startups using Salesforce in the ecosystem here. And, you know, really, you can go in and learn a lot and really grow. So that's good to know.
So, but as well, if you're in the early stages of a startup and they have got Salesforce, you can be the person to tell them, you know, like, this is what we can do with Salesforce, and this is the value that we can add to the business by doing this in Salesforce.
Yeah.
And you will see the impact that your work has on the business. And I find that it's incredibly rewarding, because looking back on where we were 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and you see how much of it is in Salesforce, then I don't think. So if you're in a consultancy, it's amazing. You go and you do your work for a customer and they're happy, and that's it. You don't see that business then use what you built and grow based on that.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst you get to learn so much more, especially if you do something for you work for the end user, you do something 2 years later, it's not working quite as well. Next time you're doing something, you're going to think three times harder, because you don't want to have to go back and redo something again.
Of course.
You know that thing that you're building is going to have to last, and to be able to do that, you've got to understand where the business is going and what the challenges are going to be, and then you just become better. And especially if you're going to go in an architecture route, I don't know how else you're going to learn how to think that way unless you go through and realize why it doesn't work down the line. You've got to go through that learning curve. So if you want to accelerate that process, then I think a startup is probably the best way you can get there. Yeah.
So the London market, so you've been in the market there for a while, obviously not necessarily looking for work that whole period of time, but you're heavily involved in the scene in London. You were telling me a story off record about recruitment contact and things like that. So for our audience that might not necessarily be in London, what can you tell us about the market there?
Yeah, there is a lot going on. You have a lot of different recruitment agencies. You have a lot of, I think, even end user customers with their own recruitment team.
Yeah.
So if you're a Salesforce professional and you qualified, then you do get a lot of people reaching out to you.
Sure.
I find that LinkedIn is their main point of sourcing. Also, you know, I think if you go to the meetups, you always find some recruiters there. Sometimes they are sponsoring the event, and those are the good ones, because they won't hassle you at all, but it's the ones that will approach you.
Sure.
But it's a lot. It can get quite intense. It's hard to, it gets to the point where it's hard. Every Saturday morning, I go through my LinkedIn messages and I reply to everyone.
You do reply, yeah?
I do reply.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But
nice of you.
I almost got like a template response.
Copy paste.
Thank you.
So have you seen that the market is particularly heavy for contractors or permanent resource in the UK?
Yeah, I've just moved roles. I'm actually in between roles at the moment. I gave myself a month off to go traveling and relax a bit. And when I started looking, I found that there was everything.
Everything, all the options.
Yeah. I interviewed for an ISV, I interviewed for a contracting role with an end customer, and I interviewed for a full-time role with a consultancy. And those were the ones that interested me. But when I looked up what the options were, those
you could have been interviewing all day, every day. That's good to know. It's good to know that globally there's such demand, because, you know, we have the same challenges or opportunity, I guess, in Australia.
Yeah.
And one thing I didn't ask that I should have earlier regarding creating opportunity for yourself. So we met at Dreamforce last year.
Mm-hmm.
How, as a working in an end customer, how do you ask to go to Dreamforce, and how do you show that there is business value in someone attending Dreamforce?
Yeah, I kind of negotiated that as part of my promotion to an architect. He said that I was working at that level. And to be honest, I didn't know the opportunities that were out there for me to keep growing that level of knowledge there. Mm-hmm. And we had a really honest conversation of this is how we can change your role to make you work more closely aligned with the development team or with the operations team and get more exposure to that tech side of the business. But also, there are things, because again, I didn't have anyone that knew Salesforce more than I did, everyone there, then how do I learn those Salesforce-related best practices and so on? So I really wanted to do their System Architect Bootcamp, and I knew that they were doing one at Dreamforce, and I sort of negotiated that as part of my promotion. But that had to come from me, and I had to outline, these are the things that I'm going to be learning there.
Sure.
And these are the projects that are upcoming in the next year that I think I could apply that knowledge. So there is value for the business of me having that knowledge.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Because, so many people want to go to Dreamforce. And just sometimes you get lucky with a company really wanting to invest in their people and not lucky. I mean, that should be expected. But not everyone sees the value of going to a conference in San Francisco, right? So, it's good to have that advice.
I was also lucky that Wonder does have an office in San Francisco that I had never been to.
Okay.
But I kind of worked from the office for a few days and did a couple of workshops with the people there.
Yeah,
and
nice.
So I tried to add as much, business value as possible.
Sure.
So I would suggest trying to figure out what is value for the company, what out of the things are you going to learn there, what's in the for the company?
Yeah,
why
sure.
should they send you?
Sure.
And I think it's on you a little bit to be able to go and answer those questions.
Yeah, agreed.
So
aside from Dreamforce, what are some of the other community events or initiatives that you're passionate about?
I just love the Salesforce community so much. I don't know about here because I don't know that many people here. But in London, there's just such a lovely bunch of people.
Yeah.
They have a lot of the user groups now. They used to be called meetups, but they're the official user groups now.
Sure.
I think we have 12 maybe in London. There's loads. I try to go to the admin one, to the developer one, and sometimes to the Einstein/data one as well.
Yeah.
And I love it. And again, some people say, why do you still go to the admin one? And I'm like, but I was there once, I took a lot of value of the talks at the time, and now I go more to talk to the people and keep in touch. And
see, give back, right?
Yeah, exactly. And on the topic of giving back, that's one of the things that Salesforce themselves, like our instructor, was saying, you need to give back to the community. If mm-hmm. each one of, because there was only 24 of us, and they were saying, if each one of you go and, teach 10 people what you learned here, then we're already, and then those people teach another 10 people, then we will have a better ecosystem.
Yeah,
so go and spread the knowledge.
Sure.
So one of my goals for this year is to do a bit more of public speaking and participate more in the community events.
Sure.
So I'm really excited because I just got my first talk accepted for Czech Dreaming in Prague.
Wow. When's that?
In May.
Okay,
the end
cool.
of May.
Yeah, nice.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, Corona allowing, they will go ahead.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be talking about integrations there,
which
is, to be honest, is a topic that is, it's not, the thing that I'm most comfortable with, but that's why I wanted to do it, because it will force me to learn more and research more to be able to prepare there. But
And if you'd have, if back when you were working as an executive assistant, if you'd have told yourself you were going to be talking on integration in Prague, you'd never have believed it. But it's good to test yourself and push yourself out there, right? So, what about mentors? So you didn't have a mentor internally from a Salesforce perspective, but have you ever had a mentor in the ecosystem?
Yeah, I had an unofficial mentor. Every time I got stuck on something, it was a project that was too large for myself, just myself to handle, or if it was something that was too technical, too code heavy, we would hire a technical architect to come and help me. And he was one of the founders of the London User Group. He was an MVP for, he's in the Hall of Fame now. I think he's been an MVP for 5 years.
Sure.
And he really pushed. He was the one that said, oh, you should go to the, they're still called meetups back in the day. You should go to the meetup. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know there was a thing, and that's how I started to get more involved with the community. And he was, and I was like, oh, I think I'm doing a BA role. What do you think? And he was like, definitely. He was the person that I would go to, because he would come in and we would work together for a few weeks or a couple of months. And he would see what I was doing or what I had done with the org, and then maybe a year and a half later he would come in again for a different project and be like, oh, that's really cool, these things you've done. And he's the one that I looked after for sort of validation or encouragement, and it's been really helpful to have someone like that to talk to and bounce ideas, like career-wise.
So what does, you've done a lot in the period of time you've been in the ecosystem, but what does the future look like for you? What are you excited about?
Yeah, so I'm going to start at the end of this month my first consultancy role. I'm joining a consultancy as a solution architect.
Yeah.
But the thing that made me choose them is that they've got a CTA and they've got a couple of other architects that are really quite advanced on their journey to CTA as well. My goals for this year is to finish my system architect certifications. I still got to do the integration and identity one.
Yeah.
I'm feeling quite good about the integration one. I'm going to do that soon. Identity, I feel like I still have got a lot to learn and put into practice as well. But hopefully, you know, being a consultancy, I'll get the exposure to different enterprise architecture systems that I couldn't get when they're all I know so far is my little ecosystem that I worked on for so long.
Yeah.
And my goal is to try and soak up as much knowledge from the other guys in the team as I can.
For sure.
And, you know, just get exposure to different challenges, different industries and so on.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, a question I'd not given you a heads up on, but if someone's starting their Salesforce journey now, what's the one piece of advice you'd give them?
Yeah, I find that so hard. Go get involved with the community early on, because you don't know what you don't know, right? And going and watch different presentations, and maybe you're going to learn that we've got 3 releases every year and what are they, and you're going to learn about things that you might not have realized were important, like, are you backing up your data? And, you know, things that I remember when I first started going, as I was doing an admin role, there are loads of things that I realized that, oh, we do this really well, or, oh, we don't do this at all. And it's going to kind of open your horizon of what are the other things that are out there. And just being able to meet people and, you know, being able to talk to them and see how their journey has gone, and someone that you can reach out to if you're unsure about something, you know.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I've really enjoyed the chat and look forward to seeing how the career continues to develop.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talent Hub Talk. If you're enjoying the podcast, we'd love it if you could subscribe and also leave a short review. We're keen for this podcast to reach as many people in the Salesforce ecosystem as possible, and your reviews will help us do that.